But in studio with us now is the recently appointed Western Cape Police Ombudsman, Major General Oswald Reddy, joins me in studio, as well as his colleague Deirdre Foster, who was on air with us. We don't have to put you on the spot, but I do want to acknowledge your presence. Yeah, Deirdre. Major Oswald Reddy has a long and distinguished career in the South African Police Service, former station commander at Heilbron Police Station. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how it goes there over New Year's weekends, but also has a long and distinguished career, even here in the Western Cape, a district commissioner in George, has been in the police service since 1982. He is now the Western Cape Police Ombudsman. It's his job to take your complaints about police service or the lack thereof. And we invite you to maybe send in a question or two, a concern or two, so that maybe not address it directly, but at least you can maybe take some notes and take it further at another time. So 021-446-0567, or drop me a WhatsApp. 0725671567. Firstly, congratulations on your appointment, and I wish you all the best of luck as the new Western Cape Police Ombudsman. Thank you. Welcome, Major General.
Thank you, Lester. I'm glad to be here. Good morning to you and the listeners out there. I took office on the 1st of October, but was officially sworn in a week ago by the Western Cape Judge President John Schloppe. So I'm in official capacity for about a week now.
What are you looking forward to? What are you expecting from this particular position? We have oversight bodies in terms of IPED. What then is your responsibility here in the Western Cape?
You know, the Western Cape is unique. It's as in that it has the only ombudsman office in for policing in the country. And if you look at the historical context and background, why is this office in existence? It comes out of the Khayelitsha Commission. And with the Social Justice Coalition and the other role players that testified and gave evidence there, it related to service delivery, specifically in the townships. And one of the recommendations was that such an oversight body should be there. So although it's not a Chapter 9 institution per se, like the Public Protector or the Human Rights Commission, it's a Western Cape oversight body. The powers are derived, firstly, from the Constitution of South Africa, Section 206(3) specifically. Then we have the Western Cape Constitution. And there we look at Section 66 that empowers the Premier to establish, you know, such a body to oversee the effectiveness and look at service delivery inefficiencies, firstly, and secondly, breakdown in communication between the local police and the communities.
The Khayelitsha Commission found, I think, the two most important points for me is the community relationship with police, and residents there found they have no relationship with the Harare and the Khayelitsha Police Station and the Linguletu West at the time. They said there was no relationship, and that was very important. Secondly, what the commission also found was that policing goes, and safety and security goes, beyond just boots on ground, manpower. It goes beyond just how many vehicles are available. It goes beyond just where the calls are being answered at the charge office. That policing also, and safety and security also, goes as far as public lighting, as far as sufficient space for police vehicles to travel through informal settlements. It is about the adequate service delivery in communities, that people don't have to leave their homes to walk to a porta potty to go relieve themselves in the middle of the night. How then, in terms of oversight, how much power would your office have to say, yes, we can address policing issues, but also broader service delivery issues that would make people safer?
I believe the mandate is quite broad in the sense that it can address an attempt to assist in addressing both issues. So the key or core mandate of the office relates to improvement in service delivery, but it also assists in improving and fostering better relationships between the SAPS, the Metro Police, and the local communities that they serve. So in terms of relationship, you know, it's sad that almost 27 some odd years down the line that we are having this divide. Because we need to have the communities out there trusting the security agencies, the law enforcement agencies. And how do you then build trust? Mm. So our core mandate relates to consequence management. Mm. So if somebody should have done something and they had failed to do it, then the community has the right to address it through the channels to us, mm. and we would then deal with them according to what the law provides.
021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. We're in conversation with Major General Oswald Reddy. He's the new week into the job, officially after being sworn in by the Western Cape Judge President just last week. Oswald Reddy is the new Western Cape Police Ombudsman. I'd love to take your questions. We can direct it to him. We may not be able to address it immediately, but he can probably provide an opinion and maybe jot it down and something that he could then take back. So let's go to a quick question, because all of a sudden we have plenty of people wanting to address the police service delivery issues. Let's have a listen.
Hi Lester, just a question for your guest. I am a 24-year-old woman living in Cape Town. A while ago I heard about a whole bunch of women, don't know if that's an exaggeration, but I'm sure it was a whole bunch, of women who were unfortunately raped by police officers when pulled over on the side of the road. I subsequently learned as much as I can about my rights as a citizen driving on South African roads, and I was wondering if our new person in charge has anything that is being put in place to ensure gender-based safety for both men and women, and that we have a way to double check that this is a legitimate thing, and if there's any education being put out there for people so they feel safer when they're driving around. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's a very important question, because there's, I don't know, for me they are conflicting answers to this, Major General, about whether at night you are driving and there is an unmarked car with blue lights flashing, asking or instructing you to pull over. I'm of the opinion, if I feel unsafe, I travel to the closest public space, and whether it be a petrol station or whether it be a police station, and do that there. But if you could address that caller's at least question.
Yes, thank you. I'm a retired Major General. So, in fact, the police are more appropriate to answer that question. We deal with oversight. Mm. And oversight relates to service delivery complaints. Now, if there's issues of corruption, is there issues of police criminality, mm. if there's issues of police misconduct, etc., there are different bodies that would look at that. For example, we have IPED that would deal with police criminality, and the Public Service Commission that would deal with corruption. So if we're looking at, young people driving around, and when they are being pulled over, they feel unsafe, you know, there is a way that they can get some assistance. The emergency number, the 10111, is accessible, and they can then do a verification on the registration number of that vehicle. You'll find that the police vehicles have call signs marked on them. And that was put there to make it easier for identification purposes in case a person cannot recall the number plate. Most police vehicles also have what they call the AVL. It's an automated vehicle locator. So within the police, they will be able to determine which vehicle it was and who was at that specific spot. So when it comes to the issue of safety, you know, sometimes there are perceptions out there regarding what happens, and many times there are realities. So I cannot tell you not to comply with the law or the instructions of, of an officer of the law, be it police or traffic or metro police, etc. Each person's circumstances will dictate, and as you mentioned, Lester, that if you feel unsafe, you can say to the individual, let's drive to the nearest police station or a garage where there's people and it's lit up, that you don't feel that you will become a victim of the police.
Is service delivery in policing subjective? What I feel as feeling safe and being serviced by my local police station, it would be different to another community. Another community would want police patrols in probably more violent communities. I'm thinking Nyanga, Kraaifontein, crime and murder hotspots, violent crime, gang hotspots in the city. A community there would want to see service delivery where they see boots on ground, where they want to see complete police visibility. I'm fortunate enough to live in a middle class neighborhood that is not free of its crime and burglaries, its property theft. But I feel more comfortable when I don't see police. You know, blue lights make me feel, oh, what's happening here? Is there a situation? So policing and service deliveries is also subjective, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. You know, there are some people who feel safer when they see the high visibility of the police and they see the police action. They realize that you know, the opportunities for criminals to commit crime is less, and they feel safe. But there are others like yourself that if you hear the siren and you see the blue light, you think, hey, what is going on? And therefore, it's important to determine the needs of the specific community that you serve, because the needs differ from community to community. And the Department of Community Safety focuses on the policing needs and priorities, which is then dealt with through roadshows, engagement and interaction with the local communities. And they then submit a report through to the National Commissioner and the National Minister of Police that can take that into account when the policing budget is drawn up and the resources are distributed.
And we saw this recently with a case that was brought by civic organizations, which actually then got the High Court to compel the South African Police Service to provide more resources for a community like Langa, because in terms of police per police in ratio to residents, a police station, like, for example, Camps Bay, and this was cited in the court documents, that Camps Bay, in terms of police to residents, was far more resourced than, for example, a Nyanga police station. So how do then do police then make this calculation of where do we divert resources to?
You are correct, Lester. In fact, the court had found adversely against SAPS in relation to the human resource methods used to calculate the distribution of personnel. And it used to be something called RAG, Resource Allocation Guide, and it later changed to the fixed establishment. But that's subject to review currently. And there's a legal process underway in relation to that. Our office, if we had to receive a complaint about that kind of issue, we would then also have the mandate to look into that and verify what is going on. Is it a skewed allocation? Is there any external factors influencing the distribution of resources based on race or, you know,
or income
or class, etc.?
We're going to take a call from Inga in Rondebosch. Thanks so much for your patience, Inga. You are speaking to the Western Cape Police Ombudsman, Oswald Reddy. How are you doing, Inga?
Fine, thank you. My beef is, not my beef, but I have a son who's in the fire brigade. I have a son who used to be a paramedic. They have both been attacked when they go into various places. The police haven't turned up when they are fighting a fire. The residents are actually fighting the firemen who are trying to put out fires. The same with my son. They tried to steal what they could out of the ambulance when they were trying to resuscitate, and the police didn't pitch up, or they pitched up so late that everybody had gone. And you know, as any mother is worried about their children going into places where there's complete there's no security, and the police are doing nothing, or they don't pitch up.
Inga, thanks so much for your call. Let's talk about almost a service level agreement where police say, after you call us, we expect to be in that area to respond in an X amount of time. And I know that the calculation of what is a priority, what is the most urgent need, and you balance that versus how many actual resources, police officers, vans to get there. This becomes a complex calculation. But in a case like with Inga, I think it's a distressing example, but let's use that. If someone is calling about a violent crime that is happening right now, should there be a type of service level commitment that says, as a police service, we commit to being on the scene in 5 minutes time?
Now, once again, I cannot speak on behalf of the police. They have a service charter, like all the government departments, and there are certain prerequisites in relation to response times, etc. But our office comes in where there's service delivery inefficiencies, complaints, etc. So this kind of complaint would be within our mandate to investigate, to see where were the vehicles, how many were deployed, why did they not respond, etc. So the due process would be, within the SAPS, there's an internal process that can be followed to also report service delivery complaints. Because it starts at a local level, a local police station that is responsible for a specific area. And then you have a cluster or district level, which is an oversight in terms of policing. And then you have the provincial commissioner's office and those personnel. So we exercise oversight and accountability over the law enforcement or the policing agencies. So
let's talk then about the legislative power that you have. And yes, the Western Cape is very much within its rights and its constitutional rights to have a constitution in which various ombuds and oversight mechanisms are then put in place. And without getting into the party politics of this, and I'm sure you don't want to wage into the party politics, but maybe you can speak around an overall policing structure where a national police is, well, we note you, Western Cape, and your police ombudsman, but there is a body already. There is an independent police investigative directorate, which we are accounted. Do you feel that you have enough teeth? And any province can set up its own ombudsman. They probably choose not to do so for their own reason. The Western Cape has decided to do so, which is well the right. Are you concerned that your office has sufficient teeth?
Yes, definitely. The office is a member of the International Ombudsman's Institute and the African Ombudsman's body. So it has sufficient legislative power where I'm able to summon individuals to appear and produce documents, etc. And if you see what has happened in relation to IPED, although we would try and avoid the legislative route in order to prove the power that we have, we compile service delivery agreements or MOUs so that we can solve problems together. But at the end of the day, the courts are there, and failure to comply then can result in legislative action.
I see Pedro's call. Pedro, what are we going to do? We're running up to news. We're going to bring you in after Eyewitness News at 11:30. But first, let's go to a quick voice note. I think this is a conversation that we probably need to go a little bit over our time that we have scheduled, if you don't mind, Major General as well as Deirdre. But let's go to a quick voice note. Let's get a response then.
Hi, good afternoon, Lester. Just for the Ombudsman, I'd like to let him know that most of the times when one reports domestic violence at the police station and you, it's not you that's directly involved, they would turn around and tell you it is a domestic issue. So stay out of it. I would like to know what his take will be on that into the future.
This comes into the ambit of legislation that is in the pipeline at the moment. It's on the president's desk to be signed. It's we were talking about it earlier, about new gender-based violence laws that have made their way through Parliament. One of those is the statutory obligation for anyone who sees domestic violence to report that. And I think more importantly, then on police to act on those complaints.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's sad that we have such a high rate of gender-based and domestic violence in the country. In fact, the president declared it as the second priority after COVID. So if any officer fails to carry out their lawful duties, that has to be reported through the channels, through to our office, so that we are able to hold them accountable. That's what the Ombudsman office is for. And Ombudsman's office are beyond policing. It's, you know, health, insurance, etc., etc. But it's not an immediate response capability at our office. So it is, your actions speak louder than your words. So when you serve people with respect and dignity, as policy prescribes and dictates, you are then able to have a satisfied customer, a client or a citizen or an individual, and that person, through word of mouth, will be able to relay to family, friends, relatives, etc. You know, I went to a certain police station and I was treated with respect. I was so happy with the service, etc., etc. So that's what we need to work together as a collective, between all these oversight bodies and all the relevant and responsible role players, including the local community police forums. They have an important role to play in bridging that divide, building the relationship and working together. Those who have this kind of attitude must be exposed, and there must be consequence management. That if you see that there's a certain individual who you have recurring complaints against, does that individual belong in that organization? You know, and what consequences follow when there's non-compliance?
Of course, we give due credit to where credit is due. I'm also of the opinion that we don't congratulate fish for swimming. So when politicians and bureaucrats do their job, we don't have to laud them, because we're paying you to do a job. We entrusted our either our vote or our tax money that pays your salary already. That's congratulations enough. But do you think that credit should be given when good police work? And I want your opinion now as a former police officer.
You see, one thing that I've learned in that previous career that I held is that whenever I was appreciated for what I did, I went above and beyond the call of my duty. from the time I was a young constable. In fact, I think I went through about either 10 or 12 ranks in the police. And each time I was appreciated for whatever I did, I would walk the extra mile to satisfy the individuals that I would interact with.
But Major General, retired Major General Oswald Reddy, the newly appointed Western Cape Police Ombudsman, do get in touch with their office. If you have an issue, email address ombudsman@wcpo.gov.za or 021-483-0669. My apologies. 021-483-0669. That's why I need spectacles. Contact the Ombudsman's office. Major General, good luck with the new career. I hope that people of the Western Cape keep you busy. There's lots to tackle, and I hope you get to the bottom of most of it.
Thank you, Lester, and thank you to your listeners. Appreciate this opportunity.